think it's very, very important for us to take some time and go through some of the books of the Bible like this in a kind of a systematic way. But in this teaching here on Mark, it's not going to be a chapter or not going to be a verse-by-verse study. It's going to be more about how there's a many pictures of the life of Jesus Christ being displayed. And they're also, of course, not even being displayed in the order in which they happen. You're going to find that in the other Gospels, they many times go in a chronological order of when things took place in Jesus Christ's life, but not so in the book of St. Mark. Tonight's going to be about the realm of authority, and it's going to be a good teaching tonight here to take and just listen. There's, of course, some blank spots in your notes here to fill in, so please do that as well. But I really believe, again, that God wants his people to understand the authority we live in, we walk in. He wants us to exercise that authority. Because, again, the Bible says Jesus Christ was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. As long as the devil's around us and demons around us as well, God wants us to be taking territory from him upon the face of the earth. And, again, we are, as far as I'm seeing here, we're going through a bit of a lull here in our nation, many nations as well, as far as a massive revival breaking out upon the scene goes. I was in the very throes of the charismatic movement back in the 1980s and late 70s as well. When I first went to Christ for the Nations back in 1979, I had never experienced worship like that in my entire life. I was totally blown away, not just by the talent of musicians. We had the Imperials drummer. We had Dutch Sheets leading worship. And we had just tremendous singers, musicians that were up there. That was a blessing in itself. But the presence of God was just almost overwhelming in those worship times. In fact, sometimes the Spirit of God took over, and we actually would have our chapel go from 8 to 9, then clear up till noon. And once in a while that took place and happened there. Sometimes repentance broke out where people started just sobbing and weeping, saying they want to get their hearts right with God. And I want to see those kind of things return in our services here, where God just would take over sometimes. But you can't make those things happen. Amen. You can't put that on your calendar and plan that out and say, I want to make this take place. You can't make God do anything. What you can do is yield yourself to the Lord and be sensitive to what he's saying among us, so that God can work not just for our sake, but for the youth's here sake, for the children's sake. Because I really have a passion to see our children have a vital experience with God, with the Lord. So when they find themselves out there in some tough places in their early adulthood, they find themselves on a firm rock foundation, just loving God's presence and discerning good from evil themselves in their lives. And so the realm about authority, to ask ourselves the first question tonight is this: how do you, or what do you think about, how do you feel when you hear the word authority? Some of you guys may have fear rise up in your hearts, kind of like whenever a person all of a sudden looks in the rearview mirror and there's a policeman right behind you. And all of a sudden, you're watching your speed, you're watching your turn signals, you're making sure that your expiration is not happening on your registration sticker and your windshield. And all these things can go through us of fear, sometimes even of guilt. And again, I found that in Pflugerville or wherever I'm at, I can always pass people and go the fastest and ease through traffic the best when there's policemen around me, because all the guilty people start going 5 and 10 miles an hour below the speed limit, and I go the speed limit and pass all of them. Have you ever noticed that? Because the Bible even says there is no fear for those who obey the authorities. And so I've heard that. I've learned that. I've got one ticket ever by going the speed limit around a policeman. So I just love those times when they're there, because you can get through traffic so much faster and so much quicker by all the guilty people. It's like a song by John Lennon, "All the Guilty People Living." Okay, well, I'm gonna keep on. I think I should change the words on that, okay? The other folks here may feel the word or kind of feelings of disgust, because you might have had experience with some wrong authority figures. Some people might have tried to control you. They might have tried to manipulate you. They might have tried to do some bad things to you that were teachers or coaches or even parents or grandparents or authority figures. And because of that, you have a real disgusted view of authority figures yourself in your life. The third kind of person are those who are grateful when they hear the word authority, because they've only had good experiences with authority figures. They've had good parents. They've had good coaches. They've had good teachers that have only brought beneficial things to their lives. Amen. So I hope you guys are almost all like that in this room today. When you talk about authority, only good feelings and good memories come to you from that, or at least for the most part. That's what God desires. And praise God, we had a great authority figure whose name was Jesus Christ, and is Jesus Christ. And he showed the people in his era what godly authority looks like, what it acts like, what it speaks like, and what it actually does. There are so many bad examples around us of wrong authority figures, and we need to have our children exposed to good authority figures, hopefully in churches like this. One of the main things that our leaders here on the staff and so forth display is the character and nature of Jesus Christ, to show them the authority that is in them by God is a God of kindness, a God of humility, a God of love, and a God that brings benefit and blessings to their lives. So the study of Mark again, I'm going to say it's not verse by verse, but it's going to be a series of pictures displayed by the life of Jesus Christ as seen through the eyes of Peter and written down by the man whose name was John Mark. John Mark, again, interpreted the scriptures for Peter. The language was changed by him for Peter. And it's the story of Jesus Christ as seen through Peter's eyes and written to the Gentiles in the book of Mark. So Mark, again, is not sequential. Last week we talked about marked by grace, how this whole book is about the grace of God being upon us. And today is about marked for authority. Now, I'm going to talk about tonight three pictures of what Jesus displays to us in showing what true authority should look like, should act like, and should actually be like. Three realities about authority. So, first thing I want to talk about again is the abuse of authority, and that is using authority to control, manipulate, or hurt others. All of us could use some fresh models of what real authority really looks like. People that don't go to churches, local churches at all today, that have never darkened the doors of a local church, many of them have a very, very false concept of what takes place in places like this. They're fearful that folks like myself will be saying, don't do this, don't do this. God gets mad at this. God's angry about this. And they don't realize, again, that's not the kind of authority that Jesus Christ displayed himself to the masses of Israel. The Bible says that the people of Israel were actually amazed by the gracious words that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. Amen? And some folks, you know, have a problem sometimes with folks like Joel Osteen, who seems to always give mushy, gushy, you're okay, I'm okay type messages there. But I think some folks, the body of Christ needs people like that sometimes to bring out encouraging words, edifying words, and words of life, because they're hearing so many things to be beaten down in life. We need to have people that's going to edify folks around them in this era as well. All of us can need this fresh model. So Mark says several times, in this book, in this gospel, Jesus came with a new kind of authority. Through his miracles, through his teachings, through his mentorship, Jesus displayed a new kind of authority. So let's start now with Mark chapter 1, verse 27, New King James Version. There's all these verses here. And it says, then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority, notice this, he commands even the unclean demonic spirits, and they obey him. Now, I've said in the past again, I took his teaching from Andrew Womack, which is very, very good. He calls it a better way to pray. And he found himself in his ministry, in his life, that he's getting more results in answered prayer by using divine commands like Jesus himself did. Jesus never begged demons to leave. He never tried to take it and cry them out or beg them out. He would command them in the name of Almighty God to leave people's bodies. And the Bible said with a command, they would shriek and they would sometimes convulse the people and they would leave them. And I encourage you guys to realize we have the authority that Jesus Christ has given us to command sickness and disease and any work of the devil, command that to go in Jesus' name. Command those things to be bound in Jesus' name. And I've seen that in Jesus' name, when we understand who Jesus really is, we understand that revelation of who Christ is, every knee bows, every tongue confesses Jesus Christ is Lord, and things start shaking and moving. Amen? And the Bible says in one verse, it says, if you believe in me, as the scriptures say, springs of living water shall flow out of you. Nowhere in the Bible does it say the springs of living water shall flow out of you. Jesus is saying there, if you believe in me as the scripture says, if you believe in that Jesus, out of your heart shall flow rivers then of living waters. Okay, so understand that. You got to believe in the Jesus who all things are possible through his name. Every name is under his name, and we can really command things to happen in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, one night in our house, I'm going to details a lot, but we get sometimes harassing demonic things that will hit our home. Sometimes weird things can take place there, not because of sin or evil, because we just have some attacks come against us sometimes. And I'll take, when I sense things like that are going on around me, I'll start commissioning warring angels in my bedroom and the household. And I'm amazed every single time those things actually happen and all silence breaks loose in Jesus' name. And I need that silence sometimes because the devil's a liar and it brings some harassing things to us. Sometimes nightmares take place and those are from the devil. God doesn't bring you nightmares. Amen. The Bible says in Psalms, I give my people sleep and sound and good sleep. So if you're having nightmares, I'm saying every night before you go to bed at night, bind those dreams that are demonic in the name of Jesus and say, I just command my mind to have be the mind of Christ while I sleep, and my dream shall be of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone needs that tonight. Don't accept nightmares and fearful dreams and fearful images coming to you in your dreams as well. Okay? Because the devil works at night many times. So going on here, your note says there's two Greek words that are translated authority in the Bible. The first word we've all heard is charismatics. It also means power. Is the word dunamis. We all know that word also is where dynamite comes from. The root word of dunamis is where the root word of dynamite comes from. It's the power of God, the explosion of God. But it means here to have the capacity or ability. The word ability goes in that blank spot. Or ability to do something. Have the capacity or the ability to do something. The ability to achieve in the arena of political or military power. And so having dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the Bible says you shall have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall have dunamis. You shall have the ability to do all things through Christ who strengthens you and do all things in Jesus' name if you believe. The other word for authority is a word exousia. Exousia is an unrestricted or unrestrained right or freedom of action. The word action goes there in that blank spot. This talks about the position of authority. One talks about the power of authority. The other talks about the position of authority. And so we've all met people who have this position of authority, the exousia, but they do not have the power or the dunamis of authority. For example, you might think about a substitute teacher. Substitute teachers, they have the position of being the teacher for a day, but they don't have the power to keep those kids quiet. I know whenever I was going to public school, we always misbehaved, including myself, unfortunately, the worst, when the substitute teacher was there. That's when the things took place here. I remember one time a teacher came to our classroom. I was very embarrassed, and I shouldn't even admit this, but I was in an unregenerate state. I was only about a fifth grader. And her name was Mrs. Baumgartner. And I just took her name apart and made a joke out of Baumgartner, and she didn't think it was funny at all. And praise God, I didn't know the principal's office, but I'm saying the substitute teachers are an example of how they got a position, they got a title for a day, but they don't have the power to back that thing up. Also, you talk about babysitters. Babysitters are temporary parents. They don't have the same authority, same power that the mother and father have. Amen? Our kids misbehave the worst normally around the babysitter because they're in the position of parents. They don't have the power of the parents themselves. The good news is we have the power and the authority in Jesus' name to accomplish many things. So on the other hand, some of us also know what it's like to have the dunamis, have the power of God, the anointing of God, working in us and through us, that authority, but we have no exousia. We don't have that place of authority. For example, who can think here in the Bible of somebody, a Bible character, who they had the power, they had the anointing, they had God working through them, but did not have the position to actually exercise that authority in the way that would have blessed the people they were around? Who can think of an example of that in the Bible? Anybody, any characters come to mind? 5 seconds. Okay? What about David and Saul? Saul killed his thousands. David killed his tens of thousands. David had more power, more anointing, more favor than Saul had, but Saul was a king, and David was under the king, only working in his courts. What about the man named Ahithophel? Ahithophel was the counselor to King David. And the Bible says his counsel was like hearing God himself speaking face to face. And Ahithophel was under the king who took over the kingdom for a short season, who was a son of David named Absalom. And the Bible says Absalom had the place of a king. And when David runs off with his best troops and his best friends, they go to Ahithophel first and say, "What should we do to kill my father David?" Ahithophel gives good advice, right advice that would have killed David. But then David, very wisely, they pray that his counsel gets confused by God. And he sends one of his other best friends to go there and confuse the counsel of Ahithophel and brings the opposite counsel. And the people of Israel in their flesh take the wrong counsel. And the Bible says Ahithophel goes and hangs himself and commits suicide because he knows he's as good as dead. They didn't follow what I said. But there's a guy here again that had the authority, he had the power, he had the anointing, but did not have the position to actually fulfill what would be best for the people. So you've seen that yourself. That's where God also will test your life. Because sometimes you might even surpass your mentors and surpass your teachers in anointing or power or whatever you may do as a skill level, whether it be on a piano, whether it be in mechanics, in a shop, or whatever it may be there. And that's when God will watch you and test you to see what your attitude's like. Can you still be submissive? Can you still be humble? Can you still have a kind spirit, though you might even surpass and actually shadow your mentor somehow, some way in your life for a season, okay? So Jesus, the Bible says, had both exousia and dunamis, both without measure. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "Then Jesus came and spoke to them, and he said, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" What does it say? It says all authority, all of it, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. How many would agree tonight that most humans could not handle this? It's dangerous for a human to have all authority on heaven and on earth. You know, to sometimes kind of unwind, I like watching old Western movies from the 60s, 50s, and so forth. I was watching one a while back where this town was full of cowardly men and three bad guys. They put them in jail somehow a long ways away. The men's jail sentence was now up. They were going to come back to the town and get revenge and try to probably kill the whole town. And so fortunately for the town, a gunslinger comes in. And this guy is a very fast gunslinger, of course. And they hire him to protect them from the three gunslingers getting out of jail to come and wipe them out. Now the gunslinger, they say to him, "It's not my fight. I don't like you people anyway. I don't care if they kill all of you." And they said, "Well, what about if we will give you anything you want? All authority under heaven and on earth in this town." He goes, "Okay, you got a deal." This guy getting all authority, being a non-Christian unbeliever, he takes and starts taking the best guns, the best boots, the best all things. He starts giving things to all the poor people, gives all the blankets out, all the goods out in the stores, takes up all the whiskey, all the beer, has a great big giant party for the whole town, free of charge, that all the guys in town are paying for. And of course, at the end of the movie, the three bad guys do get killed. And they didn't live happily ever after, though. But I'm saying, you guys, this is an example of what, when man, unregenerate man, gets all authority and all power, he normally can't handle it. Amen? We saw that ourselves, unfortunately, back in the 70s and 80s, with many TV evangelists, TV ministers, who just had millions of dollars coming in that was unaccountable to anybody for that. And we saw excesses take place, and we're still in some way suffering the consequences from that today by those excesses. Hopefully we've learned our lesson that when God gives us the power to get wealth, he adds no trouble to it. Amen? And that means we have a character that can actually handle any blessing or increase God sends our way. Okay, so moving on. We're going to look at how Jesus used authority and then look at our own authority, what we have as far as Christ is concerned. So number one is this in your notes. First realm about authority. What did Jesus do with his authority? The first thing Christ did was Jesus freed people from current bondages. He freed people from current bondages. Let's go ahead and read Mark chapter 1. Let's go ahead and let... Do you have New King James Version, Susan? NIV? Do you have New King James, Jack? Okay, I'm just going to read my own Bible then. Okay, Mark... I'm going to read Mark chapter 1. And if somebody has a New King James, can you raise your hand? I'll let you read next time. Anybody have that at all? just only I have that. Okay. Well, it's going to be on the screen here as well. And I'm going to go ahead and read Mark chapter 1, verse 21 through 28. Let's see where that's at right here. It says, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them, notice this, as one having authority, and not as their scribes. Now there was a man there in the synagogue with an unclean demonic spirit, and he cried out. And he said, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now, I'm going to stop right there. You know, the Bible says that demons even believe in who Jesus is and tremble, but they're all going to the lake of fire. They're not going to heaven, amen? So those who say, Lord, Lord, and those who even know who Jesus is, that's not enough. You must be born again, amen? So moving on here, verse 25, but Jesus rebuked him, and he said, be quiet and come out of him. When the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed by what they so they questioned among themselves and said, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately it says, his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now think about this man who had the demonic unclean spirit. Praise God for those who came to John Bevere's teachings. Robert Morris's teachings here about being set free and freedom in Christ. There were some great, tremendous, balanced teachings on that as well. And I pray that many of us were here, were set free from some things perhaps ourselves, or we're using those teachings to actually see others getting set free with Jesus Christ's power and help. People like this, this unclean spirit man, have a lot of antisocial behavior. This guy probably could not control himself in crowds. He probably would say the wrong thing at the wrong time and scream out and make a scene. Who knows what kind of manifestations took place in his life in synagogues or places around Israel or Jerusalem. He probably even hated his own life. But the fact is, this man needed to be set free, but he probably could not become set free because nobody in the religious community there had the authority, the faith, or revelation to drive demons out like Jesus Christ did. Praise God that Jesus Christ showed up on the scene and began to show people that people like this could be set free and totally have their lives transformed by the power of God. Amen? We've hopefully all seen people have happen in their lives, and praise God, God still does that today. Now, how did this demon, this unclean spirit, come into his life? I want to remind you guys again, many people are born with a propensity like a magnet to become bound by a vice, an addiction, or an iniquity. And so the curse sometimes of our grandparents or parents, the bloodline, can give us sometimes propensity to be drawn to vices or addictions or things that will bind us up or draw demonic spirits towards us. I found that demons are also territorial, and what they had territory in by your ancestors or by your relatives, they have sometimes, for some reason, hang around the Pope, the folks that come down in the second and third generation, even beyond that. I've seen it take place time and time again. So there's even, I believe, demonic spirits that watch grandkids and kids of people with iniquities and so forth and bondages that they might latch on to them if they can find a place in them. So I saw that firsthand. And I told you guys a few months ago that about a year ago in Austin Bergstrom Airport, I was waiting with Jack, I think it was, to go to, we're probably going to go to Myanmar or somewhere like this from Austin Bergstrom. And I was sitting at a table having lunch before the flight, and two ladies came up and sat near us because it was a very, very crowded time, no open tables around us at all. And I noticed that one lady there started talking very loudly about the best way to win at craps and blackjack. I guess they were getting ready to fly to Vegas and go gambling. And I was just totally almost enamored by just how passionate they were about their gambling exploits, how you do this and do that, look out for this, and boy, I had this thing take place for me, and this blessing happened to me, and gambling, and so forth, and so on. And I thought, man, you know, this really is something that's really gripped their lives. I wonder if their fathers had a gambling problem. I wonder if their grandparents were drawn toward this gambling thing, that it can sometimes really take us down the wrong path. And on the cruise ship, just came off this thing with the blessing of God for to the wedding here, of course, or re-wedding, second wedding for Iris and for Sean. And like all cruise ships, there's a casino in the middle of the boat. You got to walk through the casino to get to your dining hall. This is the way they make the boats. And so I'm walking through the ship on a Sunday morning during church time, 9 o'clock in the morning. Place is half full of folks pulling one-armed bandits and doing blackjack and gambling at 9 o'clock. And I thought, man, you've got to really be bound by something to find on a Sunday morning that your biggest joy in life is doing a blackjack table and doing some one-armed bandit stuff here as well. Cheryl loved this series that came out a while back that was called Downton Abbey. Anybody ever seen that? Downton Abbey is about a true story of a man in London, England, I think back in the 20s or 30s. And he just did a tremendous job of putting on the best successful department stores in the world in London. This guy went into multi-millionaire status and so forth and so on. But in the story on TV and in real life as well, the sad thing was that man gambled away his entire fortune and died totally penniless and bankrupt at probably too young of an age. Things like that that can take and bring that the final result is going to be death and going to be destruction and going to be just destitution. I'm saying we must not let ourselves get bound by things like that in our lives. Same thing's true, of course, can be heroin, alcohol, pornography. It can be anger. These things are all iniquities that can take place and bring destruction to us. The good news for us is the same Jesus Christ who operated in the power of the Holy Spirit back then is still operating in the power of the Holy Spirit even today. People can be set free. And I'm still believing God where all of us are going to see ourselves as missionaries to the Austin Metroplex to see people becoming transformed by the power of Almighty God that are bound up. Amen. They say right now that about 50% of Americans are bound by something, of an addiction or iniquity like this that's got a grip or a hold on their lives. You can go to any kind of a convenience store, 7-Eleven or just down Case, whatever, Circle K down the road, down whatever else. What do you see everywhere? Folks that are hooked on tobacco can get cigarettes and cigars. Those hooked on gambling can get scratch-off pads and lotto tickets. Those hooked on sugar can get Snickers and M&Ms and candy bars and Slurpees and soft drinks. Those that are hooked on porno can get Playboys and Penthouse and pornographic magazines. All those things are right there at all these convenience stores because Satan makes it very convenient for us to be able to be gripped by something and buy into that on an ongoing basis. Okay, so number two is this. Second thing the authority of Christ shows us is Jesus forgave people of past failures. Praise God that we are forgiven of everything we've done in the past that's under the blood of Jesus Christ by saying, Father, forgive me, for I did not know what I was doing, and I confess that I need your forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness. We walk in forgiveness. Amen. Mark chapter 2, going on to verse 5 here, talks about the paralyzed man. And it says, his four friends carry him on a mat into a place that is so crowded, they have to go on the roof and dig a hole in the roof and lower him down in front of Jesus' face because they cannot get to him because of the crowds. Have you noticed in the Bible that desperate people get touched by God the most? The woman who touched the hem of his garment, pressed through the crowds. Bartimaeus, who was blind, gets on a tree and yells out, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Nicodemus, the popular, very, very learned Pharisee, goes out of his way to meet Jesus by himself at nighttime. Folks that are desperate are going to touch God the most. Amen. And I want to stay desperate for the Lord myself. Amen. So Mark chapter 2, verse 5, they lower him down from the roof in front of Christ. And it says, when Jesus, notice this, saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven of you. Notice again, it says he saw their faith. I want to remind you again that principle I gave you guys a few weeks ago, where I told you about how Peter denies Jesus. He's got no faith at all. He believes all he's good for is going back to his old profession, his old job of fishing. He's rejected his own self, written his own self off, and he's back fishing again. Jesus shows up, and the Bible says again, it's John the Beloved that actually points Peter back to Jesus and says, who's that on the shore there? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he pushes Peter along to get back into Jesus Christ's face once again. And then Jesus recommissions Peter after he forgives him and says, I don't condemn you. I don't judge you. If you love me, go back and feed my sheep. Quit fishing for fish. Amen. Fish for men. Okay, so That's a story about that as well. People may not have any faith, but I've seen that in general, many people battle to have faith for themselves. They battle to have faith for their own close family members and close friends, like Paul did. For himself, Paul, the Bible says, actually had very bad eyes. He had this, it says, see what large letters I use when I write because my eyes are bad. He said, you guys, like I think in Corinth, would have ripped your own eyes out. You love me so much because my eyes are bad, my eyes are diseased, or something was in Paul's eyes. He could not see right. And as far as we know, Paul never got healed of his eye problem. We have many times faith to see miracles around us, but not always faith for miracles for ourselves. Also, I find that close family and friends, we see Jesus Christ goes back to his hometown. And the Bible said because of his own family and friends' lack of faith, because of being familiar with him, he only could do a few little, small little miracles and healings among them because of their lack of faith. And that's one thing, again, for Tree of Life Church and all congregations, we all are starting to know each other better and better all the time. That can work against us because of a thing called familiarity. There's been some folks in every local church, not just here, but all over this whole world, there are certain people that have had arthritis for 10, 15 years, and they've still got it. Some folks have still got back problems. Some folks have still got knee problems. And they're getting prayed for from time to time, but they're not totally healed even yet in their lives. I'm praying to God that we can take and just keep on breaking through the barriers and keep on believing God to hear his voice. That God gives us a what's called a gift of faith in due season to see more and more breakthroughs take place among those we know very well and see healings and miracles take place in their lives. You know, I saw this myself back in about 1985. We was getting ready to go to South Africa as missionaries back in that era. We had a couple come this weekend to our house along with Nate and Nate's grandparents, and parents were here as well. But two folks came from Kansas named Brad and Melinda. I've known them since I was 11 years old. These guys are the race car guys. And back in Faith Chapel days, in their young married life, years were going by, and they could not have a baby. She was barren. They didn't know if it was him, her. They just couldn't have a baby. Trying, praying, altar calls, praying. Nothing's happening. Well, I came through that church as I was going to different churches, itinerating there to raise funds and talk about our mission work in South Africa coming up. And so I wasn't around those folks very much. And I came that Sunday, and a gift of faith came on me, I think from being away for so much and so long. And the Spirit of God said, pray for Brad and Melinda today. Call them to the front. Lay hands on them that they have a baby in Jesus' name. So I obeyed God, took a step of faith, big step of faith for me, very, very risky thing to me. But I called them to the front, laid hands on them, prayed for them. Praise God, she fell pregnant within 2 months. They have one child whose name is Ryan, who's now about 28 years old. That was about 28 years ago, I guess, or so. That's the only child they've ever had. And I'm saying that a gift of faith came on me in that service there, laid hands on them, prayed for them. God answered the prayer. And I want to see that happening among us more and more. A gift of faith comes on us so that we break through familiarity and longstanding things perhaps as well. But it's got to be the Holy Spirit showing us what to do. And we're going to do that. Amen. But I believe it's going to happen more and more among us. Okay, moving on. Thank God for our prayer partners in this church. You know, we've seen so many answered prayers in this congregation by our prayer partners praying for people. I thank God for them. They're people of faith. They're people of authority. They use that authority, and we're seeing results taking place more and more with God's help and grace. Notice that Jesus said, your sins are also forgiven. Notice that. Now, why would Jesus, before he heals this guy, say your sins are forgiven? Now, there's two reasons this could be. I can't tell you tonight which one it may be here. It could be that sin issues have brought on his paralysis and are legally binding him and keeping him bound by paralysis, okay? So I think it is true. Sometimes sin issues can give a place to the devil to bring sometimes a sickness to us, a disease to us, but that is not always the case. So please, again, be very slow to go up to a church member who gets sick with something and say, well, God shows me there's sin in your life, sister. You sin, brother. That's why you got a cold. That's why you got the flu. You sinned. Be very slow to do that. Amen? Because that's very, very rarely the case, not usually the case, but this man's realm, it could have been the case, okay? The other thing it could have been is number two is this. It could be that Jesus knew that his sin issue would cause him to lose his healing. The word healing goes there. Because I've heard healing ministries like Andrew Womack, like Oral Roberts, Kenneth Copeland, so forth, so on. They all say the same thing. Many folks I pray for get healed instantly, but they lose their healing within 2 days, 3 days, or 1 week. They go right back into the same sickness again. And so it could be that Jesus Christ knows he's going to heal this guy, but he knows a sin issue is going to give place to Satan to come right back and give him the same paralysis all over again. Could be that, okay? The main thing is here, let's be like Jesus Christ. I pray myself more and more. Help me discern, Father. Does sin need to be dealt with in this person's life that they can maintain their healing or receive their healing? Is there a blockage going on because of a sin issue? Let's read now Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 6. And let's see what it says here. Okay, moving on. Some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their own hearts, their brains. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But it says, immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, they reasoned these things among themselves. He said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately it says, he arose, took up his bed, went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this in our lives. Praise God for the authority that Jesus Christ manifests to see new things take place. Miraculous thing. Jesus used his authority to forgive past sins. And God is saying to us, we must walk in forgiveness ourselves, even as Jesus Christ did, because unforgiveness only brings a lack of power and a lack of results and brings a place to the enemy in our lives. We need to walk in forgiveness. Number three, last of all, is this. Jesus empowered people for future service. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 says, and Jesus called the 12 to him, and began to send them out two by two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits. Now, praise God for that. Now, how many know that it probably would have been easier for Christ to do it himself? But he knows what mentorship is all about. He trained these guys, showed these guys, displayed to these guys how to cast devils out. And now he sends them out two by two with authority to drive out demons. Okay, it takes a long time to teach people to do what you do. I mean, folks should realize that. It does take a long time to teach people to do what you do. Amen? So when they first began going out, the Bible says, casting out demons, casting out devils, what happens? They come back, demons are cast out, and they're on a great big ego trip. They said to Jesus, man, even the devils are subject unto our name. And then what's Jesus Christ do? Brings them right back down to earth and says, I saw the king of all demons, Satan, cast out of heaven like lightning, like that, in one split second. Don't be proud and arrogant by little devils coming out of people's bodies here. Realize you're under the authority of God Almighty. Put all the glory unto him. Glorify God. Focus on God. Bless God. God is using you as a hose, like water goes through, to bless folks around you. It's not you, it is God that gets all the glory for what you do. So Christ immediately focuses them right back on God, on God's power, and says, don't get on an ego trip and prideful about the power that God's putting through you to drive devils out. Then they come back another time, the Bible says, and they could not drive a devil out. And they come back discouraged, feeling like losers, feeling like quitting, giving up. And they said, why couldn't we drive the devil out, this demon out? Jesus Christ says this kind only comes out by fasting and by prayer. And so he's showing them again, you guys have cast out some devils and weren't so tough to cast out. Don't be proud about that. You guys also faced a mountain that was too big to face right now in the authority you have right now, but don't be discouraged by that. You're going to have some failures. You're going to have some successes, but keep your focus upon the Lord God. get trained, keep on exercising your faith, keep on going out there attacking the devil. You'll get stronger and stronger and more wise and more discerning and have better and better results if you'll exercise your faith in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say the same thing to you guys as well. Never get discouraged by folks who don't get healed when you lay hands on them and pray for them. Not everybody you pray for is going to get healed. Some folks are still going to die. Some of us are still going to lose their jobs. It's going to happen sometimes because I'm not as faith-filled or I'm not as successful as Benny Hinn is. And many folks he prays for do not get healed. I'm not as anointed yet in healing as Reinhard Bonnke is. Many folks he prays for do not get healed, okay? So I'm saying don't get down on yourself and results don't take place and happen. Keep right on praying for folks. Keep right on believing God for healing, for devils getting cast out, provision taking place, protection happening. Keep on believing God for that. You're going to find more and more results will happen as you exercise your faith. Amen? In Jesus' name. Hope you believe that. I've had folks as a pastor, you know, I can't tell this story for long, but we had an evangelist come from South Africa whose name was Fred Roberts, and we had 2,000 people show up for a crusade at night. And we had to rent out a big old hall for this guy to come in here. And we saw all of a sudden demons manifesting in some man that came off the streets here, writhing like a snake on the ground. And he began to yell out and cry out, "I want a cult like Jim Jones. I've come from Jim Jones." This is a demon speaking out of his mouth here. "I'm trying to find a place like Jim Jones." And so the fact was, this guy didn't want deliverance. He really was trying to find a place like Jim Jones' cult. But he disrupted the entire meeting that took place there that night. So the guy did not get delivered. He jumped up demonically, ran out screaming and yelling out of the place, caused a great big giant disturbance. And then the next week, of course, people come to me, a few folks do, that I believe are immature Christians, and they said, "I got a real problem with that, brother." I said, "Well, what's the problem?" "Well, you know, Jesus, every demon he came to, just they were gone like that." You know, the fact is, none of us are Jesus. We'd like to be able to snap our fingers and instant healing on blindness and clean out Dell Children's Center tomorrow. Amen. And every seat in hospital will be totally wiped out from healing and miracles taking place. But we're just not quite there yet, okay? And some folks in the body of Christ are quick to judge people and really discourage folks, saying, you know, well, Jesus, he had things take place just instantly every single time. Well, he is our author, our finisher. And in between that, he's patient with us, building faith in us. And he says, don't become discouraged by lack of results there, because you will get more results as you exercise your faith. Okay, so I'm going to leave it with that. So the question tonight is, Jesus knows these things. Jesus knows that authority atrophies when you don't use it. It atrophies. It's destroyed when you use it selfishly. It multiplies when you give it away. Those are the three things about authority, okay? So the question tonight is this: how am I going to use my God-given authority? How do I use it practically? How do I do that? Well, your note says, it's all about leadership and authority. Does my leadership remove barriers? The word barriers goes in that blank spot. So that the people I lead are free to succeed. Does my leadership remove barriers or actually produce barriers? You know, at Shoreline, when I was there in the 1990s, Cheryl and I went to Tuesday staff meetings. Pastor Rob Koch always taught us leadership principles and so forth. And one time he kind of got on the staff's case because what they were doing, a few of them were doing, they're all gone. Those guys are all gone years ago, so I'm not spreading gossip around. But a few of those guys, they were making rules, like they were telling the volunteers under them, "We're going to have a volunteer meeting for my ministry this Saturday. If you miss two meetings I have on Saturdays, you're disqualified from volunteering for the next 6 months." That's putting up an unreal barrier, because many folks work on Saturdays. They get sick on Saturdays. Whatever they do on Saturdays, they just can't always be there Saturdays. And so that's a barrier that just could not be jumped over by many people in that church. That happens all over the whole world, okay? We sometimes, as leaders, put up barriers people cannot jump over. We say, if you can't do this, you're disqualified for a year from ministry. And so God says, make realistic rules and boundaries for those that are actually under the authority we have upon the earth. Next of all, your note says this: one of the roles of a leader is to remove unnecessary barriers so that volunteers can succeed. The word succeed again goes in that blank spot. And so we need to ask ourselves, where do most barriers come from? Most barriers in churches or even in business as well comes because somebody made a bonehead mistake. And because of their bonehead mistake, a rule is made for all the entire team of people on that ministry team or whatever it may be there. And that's a dangerous way to operate. You can't take and make a cross-the-board barrier, erect that, from one mistake, one big mistake one person made somewhere down the road. Use wisdom, use balance, and help folks succeed, not have barriers and hoops to jump through that are too much. Okay, next of all, do the people that I lead feel safe? The word safe goes there, around me. The folks I lead feel safe around me. The Bible shows that Jesus removed guilt and fear and intimidation, and he was safe to be around. People felt safe. Even children clamored to be on the lap of Jesus. They felt so safe around him that even kids loved to be around him. So create a safe environment for those who work around you, and if you're an authority, do that as well. Are the people around you safe to be themselves, or do they have to be somebody else? Do they have to be a super spiritual person? Do they have to say exactly the right lingo? Do they have to dress a certain way? Do they have to do whatever? Don't be a person that makes folks become fake around you, lest you don't accept them, receive them, let them work around you as well. Next question is this. Do they feel safe to fail? The word fail goes in that next blank spot. Or is there such a standard that they won't step out and try new things for fear that they will fail? I pray to God again here. We can have folks make mistakes, fail in some way, and not laugh at them, embarrass them, humiliate them, and say, don't try that ever again. Amen. Folks need to be corrected sometimes, told no sometimes, but it should be hopefully done in the right way, loving way. Give people room to fail. I want to say again, one thing that took a lot of pressure off my heart when I first began doing frontline shepherd conferences in foreign nations with Dale Witt, their vice president before he died at Global Advance, is their motto was years ago, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly. And that's exactly against what our motto we hear from business is. What they were saying was, start out doing things imperfectly, make some mistakes, even fail sometimes, but just don't give up. Start somewhere, it'll get better. Our video announcements didn't start the greatest. They're getting better little by little by little. We're not pulling these folks in and just chewing them out. That was corny. That was just stupid there. We're not doing that, guys. We're just saying, just go for it. You do it, put it all together here, and it'll get better and better and better as the months and weeks go by. Do you believe that? Amen. So I'm saying, be patient with each other in ushering and greetering and in children's ministry, worship team, and so forth. Give people room to fail and not embarrass them from that. Next of all, last thing is this. Do the people I lead feel empowered with purpose? The word purpose goes there. Am I doing it all myself, or am I giving it away so that it will multiply in effectiveness? God is saying, learn to give things away that it may multiply with God's help. Jesus told the disciples, you see the things I'm doing? Greater things than these shall you do, because I will go to my Father and I will leave the Spirit of God behind me, and greater things than you see me doing shall you do. We don't see in the scriptures one time where 3,000 people received Jesus as Lord and Savior, but we see on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches one message and 3,000 get saved. And so in today's also, we didn't see crowds of 1 million people at Jesus Christ's crusades. We do see it today in Nigeria, in South Korea, and other places around the world. There's sometimes crowds of 100, 200, 500,000 people. And sometimes folks are even just waving their hands, and whole crowds are falling down under the power of God. I'm saying we're seeing great things take place because Jesus has gone to heaven and the Holy Spirit lives among us, and Christ works through his church the way he wants to in great ways. Amen? All right. Does anybody here have any comments, testimonies, questions before we close in prayer? Which three things was that? Yes, authority atrophies when not used. It atrophies. it's destroyed, or it destroys people when you use it selfishly. Authority destroys people when it's used selfishly. It multiplies when you give it away. It'll multiply. Authority will multiply when you give it away. Okay, so the good thing to do, of course, is give it away. Don't hog it to yourself, but give it away. Anything else? Questions? Comments? All right. Well, God bless you folks for being here. This teaching here tonight, I think, is something we need to take hold of. I'm going to pray at the end of this message tonight that we again just lay hold of the truth. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, "My authority I now give unto you. Go in my name, cast out devils, heal the sick, preach the gospel, make disciples of all people groups." He says, "Freely you received, now freely give." Amen? And so if he says give it out, that means he'll give us more and more. Once you give out, he gives back to you. And praise God, God wants to do it for us as well. Let's pray about this. Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight that you, our God, have released to us your authority through your own Son and by your word and through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray, God, tonight that you'd help us to be those who walk by faith, not by sight. No matter what mountains or giants we face in life, let us, O God, face them boldly and with the word and with obedience, with a humble heart, a contrite spirit, but also, God, with the authority of a believer that knows all things are possible for those who believe. And all things we ask in your name, believing, they shall be done. We praise you, God, tonight. You're going to point out to us things you want us to command, to come against, to bind, and things you want us to loose. And believe, God, that gets expanded and break forth in front of us. We praise you, God, these truths that are spoken about tonight, they will not return void, but they will accomplish everything you want them to accomplish. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you. You guys can stay as long as you want. Let's leave God. We come back here together this weekend here. God's going to use all of us in good ways. Amen. And this week as well. God bless you.